All right, well, good evening, everyone. Great to see everybody here. So a few weeks ago, you know it's our missions month, so a few weeks ago, Pastor asked me if I could talk about three subjects, either missions, giving, or evangelism. And when I was thinking of those topics and what I could talk about, you know, I thought, what can I talk about? So I thought, you know, they all had one thing in common. They all involved serving God. So I thought I'll talk about serving God. So, yep. There we go. All right, so the first thing I want us to notice is serving God is a personal choice. Well, first, what we have to look at is what does it mean to serve God, you know? It means that your entire life, which includes how you live and what you think, say, or do, must be an act of service to God. This is the essence of serving God, doing what He wants every day of your life. Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, as your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Yielding to God is not a one-time event. It's a continual daily life choice we each have to make. All right. So what I want us to do tonight, I want us to turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Now, I'm not going to spend most of my time here, but I just want us to see something here. Joshua 24 and verse number 14. Joshua 24, verse number 14. Now, before I read it, I just want to note that from chapter 24, from verse 1 to 13, Joshua gathered all the tribes. In verse 1, he says he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And you know, when he gathered all the people from verse 1 to 13, he was telling them of all the things that God has done for their fathers and how He brought them all out of Egypt and all the things God has done for the people. And then He continues in verse 14 and He says, and I'll read it all the way to verse 24. So from verse 14, He says, "Now therefore," so because of what He was just saying to the people, because of all the things God has done for us, He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all in the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God, He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you, and after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange God which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." So that's a very interesting chapter. A lot happens there, but I'm not going to go into too much detail in that chapter. I just want to read that because you can see, as I explained earlier in verses 1 to 13, how he was leading up to this and saying, you know, God did all these things for us, and you know, all these amazing things. And then through verse 14 and onwards, he then says to them, you know, because God did this, you should serve the Lord. And you know, Joshua told the people that they have to make a choice of who they were going to serve. He said, you choose this day whom you will serve. And we also see that Joshua made the choice that he was going to serve the Lord. And we see that on the end of verse 15. Let me just read that again here. The end of verse 15. He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And also, I forgot to mention in the beginning of verse 15, the people said, he said he gave them a choice, and he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, we see he told them they have to make a choice. And, you know, this meant the people had to humble themselves, leave their false gods and serve the Lord. They had to make a conscious choice. You know, serving God is a personal choice and decision each of us have to make in our personal lives, you know. And just something I thought of today, and it just kind of summarizes what I was just saying here. It says, the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you automatically become one of God's servants. But that doesn't mean you're automatically serving God. It's a choice each of us has to make in our heart. You know, I mean, just because we're saved, it's good, we made that choice. But that doesn't mean we're serving God as we should, you know. I mean, you see a lot of so-called Christians today far from doing that. So anyway, so basically, all I want us to see is that we need to choose if we're going to serve the Lord. And you know, you have two options. You can either serve yourself, or you can serve the Lord. And God gives us a free will to choose, but it's our responsibility to make the right choice. Well, you may be serving yourself. Let's just look at some examples, some indications that you're serving yourself. You know, this could include living for things like fortune and money. You know, you're constantly needing things. You know, I need a better job. I need a new car. I need a bigger house. Or you might be living for fame, power, and respect. You know, I need to be the boss. Everybody needs to know who I am. I'm the best at everything. Everybody needs to do what I demand. You know, all selfish things. Or you might be living for lust, selfish desires, and covetousness. You know, I want that. Like, it has to be done my way. It's all to do with us. Or you might also be living for pleasures. You know, spending most of your time doing hobbies and sports, seeking thrill, adventure, and excitement. God wants you to enjoy life, but if you put other things before God, it becomes sin. You know, it's very true. You know, God's not this big bully, you know, telling us do this and do this, but He does want us to do what, you know, He commands us to do. And if we don't do it, you know, it's sin. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." You know, the bottom root cause of all these things mentioned in this whole verse is selfishness. It's always come down to, you know, what I want, and it's all about me, and that's something we all struggle with, you know, on a day-to-day basis. God said all these things would happen, and we can see it all around us today. I mean, you just go outside and take a look. It's self-explanatory. And you may also be serving the Lord. You know, some of us, we might be striving as hard as we can to serve the Lord. Now just look at your own life and ask yourself, what have I been doing for Christ this past year? What have I been doing this past month? What about this past week? You know, if you had to write down everything you did for God this past week, what would you write down? You know, if you had to write down everything and give a list to God, would He be pleased with what you wrote down? It's a good question we should ask ourselves. What does God expect of us in this life? You know, it's also a good question. You know, what does God want us to do? Many times we know what God commands us to do. We just choose not to obey Him, but rather to follow our own selfish desires. And that's very true. Sometimes we know, we just choose not to do it because we're sinners. And these are all important questions we should ask ourselves daily. Every day, every morning when we get up, we should ask ourselves these questions because it's a good reminder. And this will be a helpful reminder that the devil is doing everything he can to distract us from serving God. Everything. Just throwing things out there. I mean, again, look outside, you'll see. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Satan's best tool is to distract Christians from doing anything for God. That's his best tool, that's for sure. It may not even be openly obvious or wicked, you know, but it still keeps us far away from God. You know, sometimes it's just something we might do that's good from a worldly perspective, but if it's getting in the way of doing what God wants us to do, it becomes evil. You know, Satan can even use good things in our lives to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Yeah, it's very true. We might not be doing anything bad, but we might not be doing anything good either. Yeah, it's a lot to think about. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Simply doing nothing can be a sin, especially if we know God wants us to do something. And you know, that's usually the case, because especially as Christians, we're not ignorant of what God wants us to do. You know, we know. It's just we don't sometimes, because we all struggle with that, you know. So it's good things we should need to think about. The Bible also says you can't serve God and this world. That's also something we should notice. It's another thing saying, I serve God, but at the same time we live like we want all week long. Going to church once or twice a week is not serving God. It's part of serving God, but serving God should be a continual submission and service to Him every day of our life. You know, it's very true. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the word mammon there, just simply referring to like materialism. It's often referring to money, but in many cases, you know, it's just referring to anything of this world, you know. Just serving that instead of God. God says we can't do that. So it's impossible, you know. It's just, God says it as clear as it can get. You know, you can't do this and this. And there's many other scriptures in the Bible where it talks about that. You know, you have to make a choice in your own heart that you are going to serve God. Nobody can make that choice for you. Nobody can force you to do it. You know, people can force you to do things. They can force you to go to church, to read your Bible, anything. But if you're not doing it in your heart, it means nothing to God. Just being religious on the outside doesn't mean you're serving God. God sees the heart, you know. Remember what Jesus said to the religious Pharisees, you know. John 8:44, you of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will you will do. Even them, they were so religious on the outside, but they weren't truly serving God. You know, they didn't even know who God was. Before we were saved, we were servants of sin. But now we're servants of God. Romans 6:18 and 22 talks about that. It says, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now, a good thought kind of summarizes what I was just talking about here is you can't serve a God you don't know. Otherwise, who are you serving? You know, that's kind of what the problem was with the Pharisees. They claimed they know God and they were serving God, but you know, Jesus said they weren't. You know, that's very clear. We can see that. So just to quickly summarize what I was just talking about in my first point, I just said serving God is a personal choice we have to make in our own lives, you know. We can't serve God and the world at the same time. It's impossible. And we must be saved to serve God. Otherwise, who are we serving? You know, otherwise you're just doing it in vain. We're servants of sin. And now I want us to mainly look at three main reasons why you should serve God. So we looked at, you know, serving God is a choice we have to make. And now I want to look at three main reasons why you should serve God. So the first reason, obvious reason, is God commands us to serve Him. That's a very clear one. Deuteronomy 10:12-13 says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day unto for thy good. Now, God was talking to Israel in this passage, but based on our principles here, you know, we can clearly see God wants us to do the same things today. Now, look at the points He mentioned there in that verse. He says to fear Him. We obviously know God wants us to do that today. To walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, that's a big one there, because that really summarizes that verse. To keep His commandments, to keep His statutes or His law or decree. When God requires something of us, it is not a suggestion, it's a command. You know, God didn't suggest, you know, maybe do this if you feel like it, or maybe do that. He said, do it. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. God commands us to serve him with gladness and to come before Him with singing. The whole verse here, even the whole verse, it's not even a suggestion. It's just a clear, very direct command. Serve the Lord with gladness. God didn't say, serve me if you feel like it or if you have time. He said, serve me with gladness. So we see that's very clear. God wants us to do that. God commands us to serve Him, not this world. John, 1 John 2:15 and 17, just a verse we were talking about just recently. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world is not a suggestion, it's a command. God didn't say, you know, maybe if you feel like, don't love the world. He said, love not the world. Very clear. Now, we can clearly see in the scriptures that God commands us to leave in our selfish ways, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and serve him instead, you know. It's like the key points that we all struggle with, you know, lust of our flesh, our eyes, and our pride, selfishness, as I mentioned before. And God wants us to serve him. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, that's very important. Obeying God and keeping his commandments is a big part of serving him. You know, if we really love God as we should, he says, keep my commandments. We would do it. You know, we'd want to really do it. And it makes us sometimes wonder, if we don't keep God's commandments, do we love him as we should? You know, it's a very sobering thought there. The second reason I want to look at is because Jesus died for us. You know, that's also another big reason why we should serve him, because he died for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. God sent his son Jesus from heaven above to come down on this earth and live among the poorest men, be tempted in all ways possible, get mocked and ridiculed, beaten and tortured, and eventually be put to death on the cross while paying for our sin. And then he offers us a gift of eternal life in paradise, or heaven, forever with God. Yet sometimes we don't even mention his very name. Now that's a very sobering thing. Like, you know, Jesus literally came down from heaven, where he was fine up there. You know, he didn't have to come down. But he came down, sacrificed himself for us, so we can go to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our sin was placed on Jesus so we can be made righteous. You know, that's the reason for it, so we can go to heaven. You know, if it wasn't for that, we'd all be going to hell. Romans 5:8 says as well, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners. It reminds me of 1 John 4:19, which says, we love him because he first loved us. That's so true. 1 Peter 2:21 and 24 also says, for it's quite a big verse, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So, you know, it says in this verse there, we were a sheep going astray. You know, before we trusted Christ as our Savior, we were lost. You know, we were on our way to hell. Christ suffered for us while we were yet sinners, that we might be made righteous before God. The very least we can do is live a life in service in to him, you know? It's the very least we can do after all he's done for us. It takes humility to serve God. Jesus left us a great example of that in Philippians 2:5-8. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself and obeyed God, even unto death of the cross, so we don't have to suffer for all eternity. So because Jesus died for us, he deserves our sacrifice of service. You know, that's the least we can do. God's not asking us to go to some cross and sacrifice ourselves. He's just simply saying, serve me. You know, that's, I mean, it sounds easy, but it's hard. But that's what he tells us to do. We sing that song, we didn't sing it tonight, but after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me? You know, that really just sums it up, that song, you know. After all he's done for us, how can we not do something for him? And the third thing I want us to look at is God made us and will judge us. You know, that's also a big one. God is our shepherd, we are his sheep. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Man was made from the dust of the earth in the image of God. What right do we have to tell an almighty God that we won't serve him? None. Yet at the same time, God gives us a free will to choose." But, you know, that's something we need to all work on. God does give us a free will, but we will be judged for the way we live. You know, God gives us that free will, but we're going to be judged for that one day, and standing before him. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." God will bring every work into judgment. We can't hide anything from God, good or bad. You know, God sees it all. We're all going to stand before him one day. And so the way we live, you know, is very important, because we're going to be judged for that. You know, this life's short, and we're all going to die someday. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be yesterday. But we're all going to die, and God wants us to take it very seriously, because we have a short time. You know, we've got all eternity ahead of us, and we're going to be judged for that. Ecclesiastes 11:9-10 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Notice the two sides of this verse. You know, first talks about our selfish desires in life. We all struggle with this. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee. Walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes." And then he turns around and says, "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." You know, it's something we should all focus on, because God gives us the choice to live like we want, you know. But, I mean, you know, if we're a child of God, we shouldn't want to do those things, but we still have a choice to do that. And God doesn't want us to do that, and we're going to be judged for that. You know, we're all going to answer to God one day. He says in that verse, God will bring us unto judgment for what we have done for him with our time on this earth. Therefore, because he's going to judge us, therefore, because God is going to judge the way we live for him, we should strive to live a life pleasing to him, so he can one day say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, we all want God to say that to us one day. No, nobody in the right mind wants to stand before God and God said, "Well, I saved you from hell. I sent Jesus to die, and you did nothing for me." You know, we're going to hang our heads in shame. Remember, God will bring every work into judgment, good or bad. Remember that. We can't hide anything from God. As Christians, we should not have a careless attitude. Just because we are saved doesn't mean we are living a life pleasing to God. It takes effort to serve God. I'll read that again so it makes some sense here. As Christians, we should not have a careless attitude. And what I'm really trying to say is, just because we're saved doesn't mean we have to write then to, you know, live like we please, because, oh yeah, we're going to heaven. That's not the right attitude at all. In fact, being a Christian, that shouldn't even be the slightest attitude in our mind, to have that selfish attitude. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." So the eyes of the Lord, everywhere, can't hide anything. God sees all our deeds. Let's do our best to serve God in every way possible, you know? Remember, we are going to stand before God one day. Let's not be ashamed of his coming. You know, that verse, I didn't write it down here, but that verse says, you know, we should be ready, so we're not ashamed before his coming. You know, it's very true, because, you know, we as Christians, we make mistakes, but that doesn't give us an excuse to just live like we please and say, "Oh yeah, God, well, I'm a sinner, so I guess, you know, it's not my fault." It is our fault. Okay, so I just want to go over an overview here quickly of what we first started off. So serving God, we first talked about serving God as a choice we have to make. You might be serving yourself in this life, or you might be serving God. Each of us need to make a choice in our hearts about who we are going to serve. You know, it's a personal choice each of us need to make. Nobody can make it for you. You know, and we shouldn't use that excuse, you know, "I am saved, so I'm serving God." That doesn't mean anything. Are we serving God as we should? You can't serve God and this world, you know. That really is important. We can't you know, pretend, oh yeah, I'm serving God, I'm doing this, I'm going here, I'm, you know, going to church, saying my prayers, but at the same time, our life is like the complete opposite. You know, that's not what God wants us to do at all. Being religious on the outside means nothing to God if our hearts aren't in it. You know, God sees the heart. You know, I can, well, not just me personally, but all of us, we can act like we're serving God. We can pretend. We can do, you know, go through our emotions. But if it's not in our heart to serve God, you know, God sees that. And we're going to be judged for that in our own personal life. And then we looked at three reasons why you should serve God. Three reasons why you should serve God. The first one was because He commands us to serve Him. You know, that's very obvious. Serve the Lord with gladness, very clear. Love not the world, again, command. Jesus died for us, that was the second reason. I think that's personally one of the very important reasons, because Jesus died for us. You know, what a sacrifice, such mercy and grace. We should at least serve Him. And then, I think it froze. Killing me. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I'll just restart it. So I'll go over the points anyway. Well, we can talk about these points if you guys want for now. Yeah, so the second reason was because Jesus died for us. And the third reason was because... I'm so distracted now. The second reason was because Jesus died for us. And the third reason was because God made us and He'll judge us one day for that. So remember that. Would anyone like to add anything to what I just said? I'm not finished, by the way, but would anybody like to add anything? Any comments, perhaps? Yes? I would assume it's talking about all the commandments. I mean, it depends. It depends on if he was talking about a specific commandment in that verse, but usually when he says obey, he's referring to, in general, like all his commandments. Obey God in every way he wants us to obey him, you know? And it's not just, a lot of people, you know, you meet some people out there, like, oh yeah, well, I keep the Ten Commandments, you know, so I'm a good person, but there's actually thousands of commandments in the Bible. And so, yeah, does that answer the question a little bit? Maybe. Anyways, so, okay, there we go. I forgot to start it. All right. Yeah, so, but it's a lot to think about here, you know. God wants us to take these things seriously, and we will be judged for that. Please do remember that. Just wait for it to start up. Does it automatically just connect, or do I got to unplug it? One second. So you said it's your initials? Almost ready. While we're waiting for this, just remember as well, what we should actually do, you know, we should actually just go home tonight, you know, after the service and all that, and just spend some time alone with God and just look at your own life. Just do some self-examination, you know. Look at your own life and just think about the past week, you know. What did you do for God? Think about that and think about all the things God wants us to do and think about what you did this week. Just try and compare that, you know. Try and... where did you store it? The folder?
Be the most recent one that you've opened anyway.
Oh, I got that. I could just open that. Well, actually, that's kind of what I want to talk about next week. Of course, I know. Yeah, see, that is one true thing, you know. I mentioned serving God, that could be a bit vague. But at the same time, basically just anything God wants us to do, you know. I mean, we know what God wants us to do, and very clear. And that's actually what I want to talk about next week especially, is, you know, the best way we can serve God. And then I kind of go through what God wants us to do. And then I talk a little bit, let me just see where I am here. All right. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but just, I think the best thing to do is just spend some time in God's Word and just see in general what God wants us to do. I mean, even look in the Old Testament, what God wants. Remember that verse I read about, he says, Israel, you know, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. It was very in general. God just wants our life, really. You know, that's what he wants from us. He wants our all in all. Does that answer a little bit? I know, we can talk later. All right. So I mentioned serving God's a choice each of us have to make. And then I looked at three reasons why we should serve God. God commands us to serve him. And Jesus died for us. You know, Jesus came from glory above to pay for our sins. We owe him everything. God made us and will judge us. God will bring every work into judgment, good or bad. He sees it all. We can't hide anything from God. And it's actually a song, most of us know this song, but I just want to read it because it's just a really good song. I just have to read. Kind of explains what we're talking about tonight here. Let me just read it here. It says, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and raised up from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and alone. I left it all for thee, hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love, I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? You know, that was a really good song. It was very encouraging because it was very eye-opener. You know, God has done so much for us. What do we do for him? You know, it's just a great song. And the last little side note I just want to talk about here is just John 12:26. He says, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. God will bless, reward, and honor us if we serve him with our life. You know, that's the main reason. We're not just, you know, God isn't just this big bully says, serve me, and then it's over. You know, God will reward us for what we've done. Remember, he sees everything. And we're going to be rewarded good and bad. So remember that. That's a good encouragement there. It's not hard to serve God. It just takes genuine humility and sincerity. We've got to mean it. Can't just do it half-heartedly. Can't hide anything from God. Luke 9:23 is the last verse I want to talk about here. It says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. So it's a daily thing. It's not just this bam, one-time event. Oh yeah, we're magically serving God for the rest of our lives and doing everything he wants us to do. It's something we have to work on daily. We have to spend time in God's word, spend time focusing on what he wants us to do, and not just do it because we're forced to do it, but do it because we want to do it. You know? Jesus said we must deny ourselves daily, deny our own way and our selfish desires, and follow God's way. It's all about God's way. It's not about our way. That's usually what we don't say that openly, but a lot of times that's the way we live. Our way. It's my way. Work around my schedule. It's God's way. That's the way it is.